So early in my time at Carroll, I was in my office late on a Tuesday night. My office wasn't downstairs beneath this beautiful chapel. It was up where the nursing department is right now, right outside what was then Old St. Charles Chapel. I was working away. It was late, probably like 11 o'clock. I can't remember what I was doing exactly. But a sophomore gentleman came, and my door was open, and he stood in the doorway, and he asked me, it's a really good question, actually. He said, "Father, do you think God is fair?" And I was engrossed in my work, so I was working away, and I barely looked up, and I didn't even really have time to think. And I just blurted out, "I sure hope not. I sure hope God isn't fair. Think about fairness. Fairness means that we all get what we deserve. That's what fairness means. Do you want God to be fair? Do you want to get what you deserve? Because I don't. I want God to be more than fair. I want him to be merciful." That's what we celebrate today. That God isn't fair. That's a great thing for us. That is great news for you and for me as sinners. That God is not fair. That he's merciful. That's why St. John Paul II, he made a universal feast in the church. The first Sunday after Easter. Always, and from this day forward, Divine Mercy Sunday. That's what we focus on today, divine mercy. So it begs the question, what is mercy then? What is mercy? So I have a couple quotes. One from Father Mike Schmitz, you know who that is? He's just a really, really good priest. He's so handsome too. He's just a devastatingly handsome guy, right? No, good priest in Duluth, great, great work that he's doing to evangelize and to reach out to your generation. He had a great line, just a one-liner that's worth hearing. He said this, "Mercy is the love that we don't deserve." Mercy is the love that we don't deserve, okay? John Paul II, he had a great line too about mercy. He said, "In the midst of a sinful world, God's love manifests itself precisely as mercy." In the midst of a sinful world, God's love manifests itself precisely as mercy. So what is mercy? It's the love that we don't deserve. What is mercy? It's God's love. That's what it is. Even the word in Latin, misericordia, is the Latin word for mercy. And if you break that word open into its component parts, what you actually see in that word is this. It means a heart that gives to those in misery. That's what mercy is. A heart that gives to those in misery. That, my friends, is who God is. That's who Jesus is. Jesus, his heart gives to those who are in misery. And that's all of us. That's every sinner. It doesn't matter how big your bank account is. It doesn't matter how good-looking you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are. All the things of the world are not enough to assuage the misery of us in our fallen, sinful nature. But God is enough. His mercy is enough. And that's what changes everything. Jesus' resurrection is the triumph of his mercy. And that changes everything. So, we have a great gospel tonight, and it's so great. There's so many things to pray with, so I would encourage you to pray with this gospel passage. It's John 20, verses 19 to 31. John 20, 19 to 31. Pray with it sometime this week, because there's so much that I can't talk about in one homily. But the situation is this. The disciples have not yet seen the Lord, and they're terrified, because they saw what happened to Jesus. And they're the next in line. That if Jesus was taken and tortured and murdered, that they were next. So they're afraid, and they have every reason to be afraid. So they lock themselves in. They barricade themselves in the upper room. But Jesus passes right through. There's so much to pray with right there. That Jesus goes right through the barricades, especially the barricades of fear. That he passes right through and he stands in their midst. And then he speaks to them and he says, "Peace be with you, shalom." Now, in John, earlier in the gospel, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, but my peace." It's a different type of peace that Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, can give. It's not like the world. It's deeper and stronger and better. Jesus' peace is real peace. But then he does something. He doesn't just talk to them. Then he shows them his wounds. And they see him. And they know it's the same Lord who suffered and died, who is now back. Jesus in his risen body. It's transformed. It's transfigured. It's different. And yet it's still the same. He can pass through walls. He can appear out of nowhere. He's come back from the dead. And yet they know him because he has wounds. They know him by his wounds. That, by the way, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he said, there'll be an Antichrist who appears, who looks like the Christ. And how will you know that he is not the Christ? He will have no wounds because he won't love enough to suffer. Our Lord loves enough to suffer. His risen body has wounds. See, that's the thing. Jesus shows up and shows them his wounds because sin costs. It cost Jesus to go to the cross and save all of humanity, and more to it, to save your soul and to save my soul. It cost him. There's no such thing as cheap grace. We make everything cheap and easy in this culture. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't easy for Jesus to save the world. And it wasn't cheap or easy for him to save you or to save me. It cost him. There's no such thing as cheap grace. There's free grace, but it's not cheap. Then Jesus says, again, peace be with you. Right? To speak and then to show and then to speak again. Jesus validates his words by his very body. This is the peace I won for you. It's right here in my hands, in my feet, and in my side. That peace that I have won for you, that's the peace I give. And that's open to every single one of us miserable sinners, stuck in our misery. Jesus comes right through the barriers we erect, all the obstacles we throw up, and he comes right in and he says, peace. Here's how much I love you. Peace. Now we have Thomas, who wasn't with them for all sorts of reasons that we don't know. And he's persistent, actually, in his unbelief. He's a great model for the skeptics of this era, not just because he doesn't want to believe, but because his belief is conditioned. Unless I take my fingers and I put them in the holes in his hand, unless I take my hand and put it in his side, I won't believe. You want me to believe? Great, I got conditions that must be met. That is so many people in this era. You want me to believe? Yeah, well, I got a list that God's going to have to do. Well, here's the good news. Jesus shows up and he's like, Thomas, hey, peace be with you. Come here. You want to put your fingers in my holes? All right, here's my hand. You want to put your hand in my side? All right, here's my side. Come right here. Now, there's a big change in Thomas, because he goes from not believing to then saying this. It's the best prayer in all of Scripture. My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. What happened in Thomas? This happened. He has contact with the wounds of Jesus Christ. He has contact with the wounds of Jesus Christ. That's what changes him. That's what transforms him. That's everything. We need that. We need contact with the wounds of Jesus Christ. That changes everything. Why? Because if we have actual contact with the wounds of Christ, then we know the depth of his love for us. Because his wounds are there precisely because we are sinners. That means that we're loved, not at our best moments, but precisely at our worst. And that if we're loved there, then we're loved. We're just simply loved. You have been loved by God at your very worst. In your worst sins, Jesus loves you. That's what mercy is. That's the depth of God's mercy. So you're simply loved. Unconditional love. A love that can actually heal the woundedness. This image right here is the Divine Mercy image. St. Faustina, she gave it to the church as Jesus appeared to her. And at the bottom is a phrase that is so relevant for us today. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Can we trust him? Do we trust him? Do we trust him with our woundedness? Because we're all wounded. Well, friends, I'd offer this. It's imperative. It's imperative, not just a nice suggestion. It is imperative that in your woundedness, you encounter the woundedness of Jesus Christ. Because only then can your wounds be healed. Because, listen, unaddressed wounds don't just magically get better. Right? Have you ever heard the phrase, time heals all things? Time heals all things. That's not true. Have you ever met an older, jaded, cynical person? I have. Time didn't heal all things in that person. In fact, time just made them more bitter. But Jesus' mercy makes us all better. And that's what's so imperative. We're all wounded. The best thing you can do in this time that you have right now is to offer your wounds to Jesus Christ. To put your wounds in his wounds. Because then you'll receive his mercy, and his mercy will make you better. But unaddressed wounds, especially spiritual wounds, they just fester. And then they get worse, and they get infected, and then you become bitter. And the Lord doesn't want you bitter. He wants you better. He wants you healed. And the world needs you to be healed. The world needs people who have been made better by divine mercy. And that's part of this gospel. Jesus wants to heal the apostles. He does so by showing them his wounds and by giving them his peace and by breathing out his spirit upon them. And then he sends them out on mission. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Go. Be a missionary of mercy. Go and bring the love that you have received, the love that you know in your own life. Go and bring that to people who don't know mercy yet. That's our charge. Brothers and sisters, that's the charge of the church. To come and encounter and receive the mercy of Jesus Christ, and then to go and share it to the whole world. Share it with every single person. That's why this feast is so great. Mercy. It's what we all need. But mercy is what we have in Jesus Christ. And then the question comes, What will you and I do with the mercy we have received? Please, God, do not keep it to yourself.